The word that I want to share with you this morning and continue into next week is called The Calling to a Spirit-Filled Life. The Calling to a Spirit-Filled Life. Last week on the calendar, we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is a celebration that still to this day amongst the Jewish people still takes place 50 days after Passover. 50 days after Passover. But for us believers in Jesus Christ, it was the birthday of the church. Pentecost was the birth of the church when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the believers in the upper room. We are living in the age of the church. We are living right now in the after effect of Pentecost. We're living in the Pentecostal season, if you will. This is the church age. And when this age is done, the next feast, prophetically, that will take place is the Feast of Trumpets. Because the Pentecost was the fourth of seven feasts among the Jewish people, celebrating the ingathering, the final ingathering of the spring harvest. That's number four. Number five is all the way at the end when the trumpet sounds, called the Feast of Trumpets. Prophetically, for us as believers, it signals the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, we got a lot of work to do. Somebody say, I got a lot of work to do. There's a world out there that needs our message. There's a world out there who doesn't know the treasure that you have in your heart. Lord, please help me. I'm praying for myself this morning, as well as all of us, not to hide my light under a bushel, not to keep this treasure to myself. I have the word of hope. I have a word of reconciliation. I have a message that brings forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ, the message of Christ, the ministry of Christ can set people free from bondages and all kinds of evil. What the world needs is Jesus, just a glimpse of him. And I pray that that glimpse will come from me, that when people see me, they'll say, you know what, maybe Jesus really is real. This is a desperate time that we're living in, and we need to be a spirit-filled church. Oh, that was a little weak. I said we need to be a spirit-filled church. We need to be understanding the calling that we have, not just to survive, but to live a spirit-filled life, where we live in the overflow and the abundance of all of the love of Christ and the gifts of Christ and the anointings of Christ. When Christ left this earth, he didn't leave the church powerless. He didn't leave us unequipped. He said to wait. Wait until you be endued with power from on high. Tarry in Jerusalem for 10 days. 10 days after the ascension of Christ, the waiting crowd in Jerusalem, 120 people, were there in the upper room. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind, hallelujah, and filled the place where they were seated or standing. And it says that cloven tongues as of fire separated themselves. A little emblem of fire, a symbol of fire, came over each one of them, signifying the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit is the power of God. It consumes everything else except what is pure. Hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Spirit will burn up the dross in your life. The fire of the Holy Spirit will break that fleshly tie in your life where you keep giving into the flesh. Somebody say amen. The disciples were told to wait, to expect a powerful anointing. We must never forget this, that we are living in the church age, the Pentecost age, the age after the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, when the Holy Spirit came not only to a corporate entity, but upon individuals. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come on certain individuals for certain times for a certain task. But now every believer who confesses the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are baptized by Christ into the body, by the Spirit rather, into the body of Christ. So every one of us can experience the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Jesus put it this way in John 7. 37 to 39. Now on that last day, the great day of the feast, this was the Feast of the Tabernacles. This was before Pentecost. Jesus stood up in John chapter 7 and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." I want to ask you today, do you feel like you're living in the overflow of the Holy Spirit? Don't answer me here, but think about it. Ask yourself this question. Do I really live a Spirit-filled life? And then it says these words to explain what he was talking about. This Jesus spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So in John chapter 7, Jesus makes it very clear that there's an experience that was subsequent to salvation. An empowering, an immersion, if you please. And Pastor Angela mentioned in a video we did a couple of weeks ago, when you're baptized in water, you know you've been baptized because you come out all wet. Nobody can doubt if you've been baptized because you're all soaking wet. But when you are immersed in the Holy Spirit, there should also be evidence. Hallelujah. There should be evidence that we're living a Spirit-filled life. It's got to make a difference. As it did on the day of Pentecost. They were praying in other tongues, and the people who were there gathered in Jerusalem for this great feast. People from every nation of the earth under heaven, the Bible says. They heard the disciples, these ordinary people, speaking in languages that they did not learn. And the people who were visiting in Jerusalem from other countries could hear the disciples glorifying God and talking about the wonders of God in their own native languages. Yes, 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 yes. What a miracle God did on the day of Pentecost. In one day, just think about this. They went from a group that was meeting behind closed doors in an upper room to all of a sudden people from every nation of the world heard the testimony of what God was doing and declaring his wonders from all around the world, all in one day. And the church grew from 120 to 3,000 to 5,000. And aren't you glad to know that Pentecost and the book of Acts is not over yet? It's still going on. Somebody say amen. Jesus said it in John 16, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Talking about the Holy Spirit. He was saying to them, "I have more I want to do in your life. I'm here with you now, but I'm going back to the Father, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Advocate. I'm going to send he who will guide you into all truth." Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit guides us? Aren't you glad we have the Comforter in our life? Hallelujah. We should never take the work of the Holy Spirit for granted. Somebody say amen. He says he will guide you on into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. Now watch this. It says, Jesus says this, "He will," that is the Holy Spirit, "will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and disclose it to you." In other words, the Holy Spirit takes the life and the essence of Jesus and makes it a living reality inside of us. He will, listen, Jesus said this himself. He said, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will take all that is mine and make it known to you. He'll make it real to you. Just like the Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary. The seed of the Holy Spirit was planted in the Virgin Mary. When you're saved, you are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. That's the first baptism. And then there's also a subsequent baptism that's talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's clearly taught in the New Testament, clearly taught in the book of Acts. But I want you to know there's more, that God has more for you. And I want to say to you, church, if you don't remember anything else I say this morning, please look at me. Please look at me. Believe this when I say this. I've been getting this all week long, that God wants you to live a Spirit-filled life, not a life of survival, not a life of just getting by. Somebody say amen. Not a life of just saying, well, I just made it by the skin of my teeth. Wouldn't it be nice if we could take some people with us to heaven? Somebody say amen. Yes, yes, yes. Wouldn't it be nice if we had some spiritual victories that we could kick out the devil out of our house? Wouldn't it be nice if we could break down some strongholds? Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice if we could see some sick bodies healed, some marriages healed? Hallelujah. Some young people called into the ministry? Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice if we had another outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Catalyst International Church? God gives the Holy Spirit to those who are hungry. And I want to ask you this question this morning. Please look at me for a second. I know I'm not that good looking, but look good anyway. I got my wife thinks I am. Thank you, Jesus. After 49 years. I don't want you to miss this. How hungry are you for more of God? It's a very penetrating question that only you can answer. Am I hungry enough to shut off the television? Am I hungry enough to pick up the telephone and apologize to somebody? Am I hungry enough to get on my knees and ask God to give me more of His heart? Am I hungry enough to make Jesus a priority, a higher priority than He is right now? Somebody say amen. Jesus said these words in Luke 11, "So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" How much more? Listen, your child's hungry. You put some food in front of them. They're thirsty. You give them something to drink. No one would think of giving your child a scorpion or a serpent, or you wouldn't turn them away. But how much more our Father in heaven, who is perfect, who loves to give, who is wanting to have a people after His Son, a people who look like His Son Jesus, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. In many of the revivals that have taken place throughout history, I remember one in particular, the Wales Revival with Pastor Evans. Tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit, thousands of people saved, and the entire community turned around and transformed, and people who used to be drunk were not drunk anymore. People who used to curse and swear and beat their wives weren't doing those things anymore. Somebody say amen. There was real proof of a revival. I'm not talking about a revival where everybody just jumps up and down, you know, in church, gets excited, sings a few songs, and then goes out and never does anything different, unchanged. I'm talking about revivals where there was real change in the culture. Even racism, somebody say amen, can be changed by the Holy Spirit. Remember when Peter said to God in Acts chapter 10, "I can't go to Cornelius' house. He's a Gentile. I don't eat unclean food. I'm a devout Jew." How about when Jesus went to see the Samaritan woman and led her to Christ? How about the good Samaritan who was a Samaritan and went to help a Jewish person? Are you getting what I'm saying here? God will give you more if you ask Him. He'll give you more of the Holy Spirit, just as we parents will give good gifts to our children. But what evidence is there of a Spirit-filled life? What is the evidence that we've been immersed in the Holy Spirit? That we're not just, you know, putting in our time and, you know, we got our, what do you call it, life insurance, make sure that we don't go to hell. And, you know, I try to get one every time before I go to sleep. Lord, if I did anything wrong today, please help me. No, I'm talking about being proactive. I'm talking about being an example of Jesus so the world can see. Jesus said, "Shine your light." Turn to your neighbor and say, "Shine your light." Shine. Don't hide your light. I'm talking about letting the love of God overflow. What is the evidence? Number one evidence of a Spirit-filled life is love. Come on now. You thought maybe I was going to say speaking in tongues or gifts. That comes later on. If you don't have the love of God, you don't have the Spirit of God. Come on. If you don't have the love of God, you don't have the Spirit of God. Because the first fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, the very first one listed, is love. love, joy, and peace. There are nine fruits of the Spirit listed. And then in Romans chapter 5, it says, the love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So you become a more loving person when you invite the Holy Spirit into your life. I want to say that again. Romans 5:5. The love of God is poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And there's one translation called the Passion Translation. I love this verse. Romans 5:5. We can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Wow. We can experience the very fount of the love of God where God turns on the spigot. You need more love? Ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. You need more love? Ask the Holy Spirit to change your heart. You need more love? Number three, obey God. The Lord, it says in the book of Acts, gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. How was it that the Pharisees and the Sadducees missed what ordinary fishermen had really gotten? When Jesus went to start his new kingdom, he picked tax collectors, fishermen, and all ordinary people. And the religious community were very jealous, very envious. And they said, wait a minute, you didn't go to the college that I went. You didn't get your pedigree. You didn't get your, you're not in the country club. You don't go to the same restaurants I go to. You don't, have a fancy car in your driveway. How could you think you're closer to God? Jesus chose ordinary men. But here's what the disciples, when they were asked, how could you have performed a miracle for this crippled man who was being laid by the gate for many years, 38 years, if I'm not mistaken? And Peter and John, who were full of the Holy Spirit, after the day of Pentecost, went to this man, and in Acts chapter 3, I believe it is, and they said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. And so when the religious community were questioning them, how could you perform this miracle? He says, you've got to stop doing this. They threatened them. You've got to stop preaching this Christ is risen from the dead. You've got to stop this Holy Spirit stuff. And Peter said to the Sanhedrin, he said, you decide for yourself whether we should obey God or man, but as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to obey God. Because God gives, and this is the part I want you to remember, God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Somebody say amen. What is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life? Go back over it again. It's the love of God poured into our hearts. It's obedience to God on a daily basis. It's the influence of our thoughts and our mind. The Bible says those who are governed, whose minds are governed by the Holy Spirit, have life and peace. If you are a Spirit-filled person, and all of us should be, your mind will come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I might add the Word of God. Because the Word of God and the Spirit are one. They speak the same language. They say the same thing. Somebody say amen. So, how do I know I've been Spirit-filled? How can I be more Spirit-filled when my mind is more God-conscious than self-conscious? I want my mind to be more God-conscious. How many of you need your mind, come on, to be more God-conscious? I want to be under that influence. The Bible says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be under the influence of alcohol. But be filled with the Spirit. Why does it say that? Why does it make the analogy between wine and the Holy Spirit? Because wine has the ability to influence your mind and to alter your behavior. But for the wrong thing, and not in a good way. Somebody say amen. How many of you have ever seen a stumbling drunk person? Definitely not somebody you would want to go to for counseling or to change your life. Don't be drunk with wine, excess, but be filled with the Spirit instead. Come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. When your mind is on, you're not perfect. You're still not perfect. Don't think that I'm holding myself up, or anybody who's spirit-filled is perfect. We're all still in this human body. But little by little, and I've known people like this, and I'm sure Reverend Andrew, you have, Reverend Joel, Brother Nikki, Sister Nikki, and Brother Lanre, others. You've seen older saints who've been walking with God 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And honestly, when you go to see them, you feel the aroma of Jesus. I mean, you just, you don't see the flesh anymore. The look on their face is just, the transformation is so complete because God's been polishing and working on them and creating in them the new man. Hallelujah. And making them more and more conform to the image of Christ. Obedience. Mind under the influence. And there are supernatural gifts and ministries that are given by the Holy Spirit. So your prayer life will be different. The Bible says, I will pray with the understanding, and I will also pray in a spiritual language. I will pray in the spiritual language. I will pray with my mind, my understanding. I will sing in the spirit. I will also sing in the natural. So there is a gift of tongues. There is a gift that we can have a prayer language. And you could ask for these gifts. But even in the discussion of the gifts between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, guess what the chapter is in the middle? First, it's the love chapter. So sandwiched between the gifts is got to be about love. So gifts are not meant to give you some kind of a medal or badge to make you better than somebody else, some kind of super Christian, super saint. We're all sinners saved by grace. But we need the gifts. We need some gifts in the church. We need a word of knowledge once in a while. We need the working of miracles. I ought to hear somebody in this. We need the discerning of spirit. We need prophecy in the church. Hallelujah. We need the word of faith in the church. In these times, we need the Holy Spirit to be active in the church. I hope that you're with me this morning. And I want to close with this. This is not a one-time event. The day of Pentecost came, but it's an ongoing experience. If you're dry today, you can ask for a refill. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18, when I mentioned it before about not being drunk, but be filled. When it says be filled, the word there means constantly being filled. David Goodzik, who is a Bible scholar, says in his commentary, the word be filled in Ephesians 5:18 is in the Greek. The actual literal meaning is constantly being filled, is the actual literal meaning of that in the Greek. So we can live out today in 2020 what happened on the first day of Pentecost and what has started. The book of Acts has over 80 references to the Holy Spirit. 26 chapters. Over 80 references to the Holy Spirit. And I like this. On the last verse in the book of Acts, 28 chapters, excuse me. The last verse, just to show you that it's not done yet. It says, Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. The last two words in the book of Acts are without hindrance. Are you living today without hindrance? Somebody ought to get excited this morning. See, a life in the Spirit goes beyond what is possible just in the natural. We see in a different realm. We're plugged into a different life source. We're plugged in to the anointing from heaven. This mission that started in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2 is still ongoing. And it's so significant that it was the feast of the ingathering of the harvest. It was the final gathering. It wasn't the beginning of the spring harvest. It was the end of the spring harvest. The first four feasts were in the spring. The last three are in the fall in the Jewish calendar. It's very interesting. So this is also symbolic because there was great joy in the Jewish families when they were celebrating Pentecost because there was the ingathering. We're now going to have food in our barns. We will now have enough to eat. Our families can be safe, and we will be well taken care of through the winter. And the Bible says, in the spiritual analogy of this, it says how much joy there is in heaven over one sinner who comes to repentance. They would celebrate on Pentecost, but God celebrates when we go out into the harvest and we bring in the harvest of souls. Somebody say amen. Pentecost was a mandate. Say it with me. Pentecost was a mandate. The Spirit-filled life is not just for the pastor or the elders. The Spirit-filled life is for every Christian. Every Christian. Because you can get more if you're hungry. How much more will He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you're dry spiritually, God will refill you. If you need a refreshing, just get humble before God. Pour out your heart to Him in prayer. Brother Andrew gave a great message last week about Paul and Silas on the way to prayer. And they had a prayer life. They didn't just say prayers once in a while, you know, just to get them out of trouble. You ever know people like that? Nobody in here, of course, none of us. Because we're almost all perfect here, right? Just kidding. But they had a prayer life. And they were praying in the midnight hour as they would have prayed over by the river when they're on their way to the place of prayer. A Spirit-filled life takes a consciousness to understand that there's more in heaven for you than your natural mind is telling you. I want to say that again. I want to say this with all my heart. There is more for every single one of you who are watching, those of you in this room. There is much more in heaven for you than your natural mind is telling you. Some of you haven't seen what eye has seen and what ear has not heard. Neither have entered into the hearts of men the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But then the next verse says, Brother Andrew, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. God wants to reveal to you the life that He has chosen for you. Your preferred future. The vision that He has for your life. The devil has a vision for you too. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He has a vision that he wants you to be bitter all your life. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to feel like you've been overlooked, like you missed the blessings when they were being given out. Somehow God overlooked you. But the Bible tells me on the day of Pentecost, every tribe, tongue, and nation that was represented heard the wonderful news of God, that God wants to bless all people in honor of His Son, Jesus Christ. He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit so that the whole world will know that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was accepted by the Father and is bearing fruit for all eternity. Somebody say amen. Give God a clap offering in the house. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, he said, what you're seeing happen now was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Men and women, young men, old men will dream dreams. On my servants, both men and women. In those days, it was mostly men. But God says in the last day, there are going to be some Spirit-filled women, somebody say amen, who are going to rise up and be champions for God's house. There are going to be some young people that are going to be filled with the Spirit and rise up, hallelujah, and be champions for God. I will pour out my Spirit in those days. God wants to revolutionize our thinking so that we understand that He has called us to be supernaturally equipped to finish the job that Jesus came to do, the global mission of Christ. We can start by reaching out to somebody who's different than us. This is a perfect message for the season we're in our country, with all of this upheaval going on in our country. Pray first. Don't just go out and try to win the world. Pray first. Get your heart right. But then start to focus on a neighbor. Start to focus on a colleague at work. Invite somebody into your life that's different than you. Be intentional. The neighbor that plays the loud music. Come on now. The dog barks every day, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, when you're trying to take a nap. Go bring that neighbor some plum bread. Hallelujah. Come on now, Nikki. Hallelujah. I think I still have some in my freezer. Do something intentional to break the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're not going to get a different result. I'm trying to apply this in my own life. I really am. I was talking to the young lady who was cutting my hair yesterday. Was it yesterday? Friday? Friday. African-American young lady. And I tried to be sensitive to her, to tell her how I felt about what's happened to the African-American community and how they're hurting right now. And she was very receptive. I told her I was a pastor, and I told her God's going to take care of her. She was saying that she hasn't had enough work. She's only getting 20 hours a week at Great Clips, and it's been tough. And so I told her I was a pastor. I told her I would be praying that God would provide for her, and then I gave her a big fat tip. Come on now. Would it have been right if I said, oh, yeah, God will take care of you, and then I give her a dollar tip? Come on now. Where's Camille Fraser? Hi, Camille. Amen. I hope they take care of you when you do your work. Amen. Amen. We got to make this thing happen in real life. The Holy Spirit will bear fruit. There's evidence. Love, joy, peace. And there's also power. And the anointing that the disciples could literally stand up to the entire religious establishment, the Sanhedrin, 70 of the Jewish nation's top elite religious figures stood up and say, you decide for yourself whether this act to a poor crippled man was against the law. But as for us, we're going to obey God, because God will give the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Hallelujah. If you obey him, he'll give you more of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together. Let's bow in prayer. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want Pastor Angela to help me for a second. Hallelujah. More of you, more of you. I've had all, but what I need is more of you. We want more of the Holy Spirit in my life, in our lives. More of you. More of you. I've had all. I've had it all. But what I need is more of you. Of things I've had my fill. Of things I've had my fill. But yet I hunger still. But yet I hunger still. I know there's a lot of praying. There was a lot of soul searching going on. Somebody say amen.
Forgiveness.
A lot of forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. May God speak to your heart right now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit can shine a light. He will convict of ways that are out of order. He will bring convictions to our hearts. He'll make our hearts more pure. He'll make us more tender towards God. He'll make us look and sound more like Jesus. Empty and bare,
Lord, hear my prayer
for more of you. Come on, sing it again, everyone. If you want more of you, sing it. Sacrifice. I know some of you are hurting. We know some of you are going through terrible trials. Make a sacrifice and praise. Lift up your hands. Say, Lord, in spite of it, I praise you. I want a spirit-filled life. The disciples were being threatened to be put in jail. They were threatened to be killed. But they said, we're going to follow God. We're going to decide. Hallelujah to obey God.
Hallelujah.
I've had it all.
But what I need is more of you.
More of your spirit, Lord.
Hallelujah.
All
of things I've
had, I've been. Yet I am. Full. You might say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Maybe it's just too full of other things. You see, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Those who feel empty and bare, those who feel like, yeah, I've got some things, I thank God for what I do have, but what I need. But what I need, somebody say, what I need is more of God. I don't think there's anybody today in this room and watching could honestly say, I have all of God that I need. I don't need more of God. I don't need more of the Holy Spirit. I know I'm the first to raise my hand. I want you in this room and around this country watching. If you need more of the Holy Spirit, more of God in your life, just ask Him right now. Lift your hand and say, God, you said you would give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. I'm asking you, Lord, fill me. Fill my children, my family, Lord. Put up your hands to God. God, fill me with more of your Holy Spirit. Help me to have this this intimacy with Christ, Lord. Take away the shame, take away the false guilt, any condemnation, Lord, anything that hinders me. Lord, help me to be pure of heart, Lord, and close to you. Fill me, Lord. Let me be a container that can overflow with the presence of God. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. What an amazing prayer that is, isn't it? And the Lord will respond. If you've prayed that sincerely, be prepared. The Lord is going to manifest himself in a greater way in your life. I believe that. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your presence in the service, God. We thank you that we are desperate for more of you, God. Oh, God, how we need you. Hallelujah. Lord, how I need you, Lord. I thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I can't thank you enough, Lord. How many times I didn't even know how to pray, and the Holy Spirit would just pray in a prayer language, or groan, literally groan through me, God. Lord, we just thank you that you didn't leave us comfortless. Hallelujah. That when you ascended, you sent the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't just be half full, but we would be filled to overflowing, that rivers of living water would pour through us once again, Lord. That those same disciples who ran when they were confronted, Lord, when in the garden and when you were being taken, became the boldest disciples, God, the boldest church founders, God, that proclaimed your name boldly in places, Lord, that only you would give them by the Holy Spirit utterance the ability to do. So, God, we believe if we're timid that you are the answer. We believe, Lord, if we feel hemmed in, that you are able to break walls. Hallelujah. We believe, Lord, that you are able to give us divine opportunities to share the life of Christ with those around us that need you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're living in a new day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. You can't hug each other right now, but Sunday, pretty soon, we'll be back to hugging. God bless you.